Good morning, church. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you on this beautiful Easter morning. Did you find your baskets? Did you get some goodies? Yay! Well, it is a true joy to have you here this day as we come on this Easter morning to celebrate these gifts and these blessings that come to us from Almighty God. We pray indeed that our hearts, minds, and spirits might be in tune with Almighty God this day. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Sharing the fun because Jesus lives and it's a joyful celebration. So we do hope to see you next week. Just two more quick announcements. There will be no rehearsals for Sunshiners and Temple Bells until the 19th of April. So you have a couple weeks of a break. No rehearsals for Sunshines and Temple Bells. And our Race for Grace.
Once again, the Outreach Committee will be supporting the Race for Grace. For those members and those that are not aware, this is in loving tribute to Reverend Funk's granddaughter, Grace Ekus, who passed from a brain tumor a number of years ago. So this is just a wonderful community event that our church has gotten involved in as well. That's this Saturday, April 11th, at the Norwin High School. So get your walking shoes on and join the church team. And just as a reminder, please check your bulletin. We have a few other announcements, scheduled meetings, and other activities that pertain to the life of the church.
Afraid. Why do you weep?
They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him.
Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus Christ, who was crucified, he is not here. He has been raised. Look at where they laid him.
But where is he?
Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?
Oh, please, sir. They have carried away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. If you have taken him, please tell me where he is, and I will go take him away.
Mary.
Rabboni, it is you.
Don't hold me. I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven. Go tell my brothers. I will meet them in Galilee.
Peter! Hallelujah! He lives! Christ is risen! John, he lives! I have seen him!
Please rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. Remember the good news that Jesus promised. Death cannot contain the purposes of God. tears and weeping will be no more. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice, for Christ is risen. Please continue standing and join me as we say our unison prayer together as printed in your bulletin. Risen Christ, Lord of life, breathe new life into us this day. Inspire us with confidence and open our hearts anew to receive your promise of resurrection. Speak to us once more, that we might hear your voice and recognize your presence in our midst. From the darkness of doubt, guide us into the glorious light of faith and love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And please remain standing as we sing our hymn of praise, number 302, in your red hymnal, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you.
Did you hunt for some Easter baskets this morning? And what did you find?
Chocolate.
Money.
Nothing but money for me.
Wow, money.
But he didn't give me my Easter basket.
You didn't get your basket, though, but you got money.
Yeah.
That's good. Did you get white chocolate or brown chocolate?
Brown
chocolate. I think that's the good stuff. You like the dark chocolate?
I got lots.
Did you get jelly beans?
I do.
No. Why are you not giving your kids jelly beans? Did you do eggs?
Yes, I
did. Did you color eggs? Did you get pink or yellow peeps?
No.
I
did.
All right, how many of you kept the peeps for yourselves? How many of you like those peeps? They're not my favorite. How many of you will like them better next week after they've been out in the air? Huh? Oh, they won't last that long. How many of you, fess up now, have put those peeps on a stick and made a s'more? Oh, you're going, oh, you eat chicken. Uh-huh. Do you know, oh, and incidentally, I found a great comic on those little yellow peeps. So if you want to see the comic, next week, Holy Humor. Do you like, I don't really like those marshmallow peeps. I don't care if they're pink, blue, purple, green. They make you throw up. All right, I understand why she didn't get any. Yes. And did you hard boil and color eggs? Yeah. Yeah. What was your favorite color?
Yellow.
Yellow. Blue. Green. Red. And purple, pink. What's your favorite color?
Purple.
Purple. And what do eggs have to do with Easter? Who lays an egg? The Easter Bunny lays an egg. Well, if an egg hatches, if it's a special egg, you have to get it from a farmer. And it's a special egg, and you take it and put it in a box with a light bulb and a thermometer and make sure that it stays at 101 degrees. In 21 days, that egg may hatch into a baby chicken. You did that project. I've hatched them in my bedroom. Anybody else hatch chickens in your bedroom? Who? Did I see another hand up? Yay, I'm not the only one that has hatched chickens in my bedroom. Our hearts are connected. Yes, I've held them when they're hatching before. That's pretty cool. Although I have to say, I would do like a dozen eggs and maybe I'd get one, maybe I'd get two. But then that one that I hatched, when she got older, she got a little broody. That means a little fussy. She got clucky. And her body temperature got hot and she sat on eggs for me. I think I put her on 6 Banny and 2 Rhode Island Red eggs. So out of those 8, I think she hatched 7. She was good. very good, and then she disappeared when she was a little older. I think something took her in the woods. Yeah. So we use an egg because that egg, if it's a farmer egg, can hatch into a baby chick, and it opens up and there's life in there. You did eggs too? And when you crack that, you're probably going to play with those eggs a little bit, but when you eat them, there's the white part and the yellow part, the white and the yellow. And so that shell becomes empty, just like the tomb is empty, and there's new life. And that egg hatches, and there's new life. So that's why we use eggs for Easter. The bunny is a whole nother story. I'll let you all handle that. All right. Anybody have any idea why we use Easter bunnies?
Easter baskets.
Well, because of Easter baskets. Bunnies are very prolific. I'll use a word they don't know. Bunnies are very prolific. And just as bunnies are prolific at, we are to be prolific in sharing the Word of God. That's, I believe, where bunnies come from. Not come from, but why they're in the story. So when you go home today, you celebrate the Easter bunny and you share the story with people. And you, when you're playing or hiding Easter eggs, maybe later today, you remember that some of those special eggs, none of the ones you have, but some of the ones from farmers, that they can hatch and out of that egg comes a baby chick and new life. And that's why we celebrate today on Easter, is the new life that comes to us through Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for these boys and girls. Continue to bless them. Continue to inspire them within your church, within your kingdom, within the world, that they might do great things for you. Be with their moms and dads and all of those that care for them. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, will you help pass out some cups there, young lady? And you're going to be collecting today for the Mission Barn. That's part of the UMCOR place.
And all the people said, Amen. Thank you, Diane and choir. That was a beautiful anthem this morning. Our responsive reading is Psalm 118. It can be found in your red hymnal on page 839 and 840. Please recite your response to my prompt. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Open me to the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God, who has given us light. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. And here ends our reading from Psalm. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Thank you.
glorious God, we rejoice in Jesus' victory over death. You raised him up to live forever. He left behind his linen wrappings, his shroud, his grave clothes. Robed in white, Christ leads us from darkness to light. Help us to follow him, leaving behind the things of our past that obscure our horizons. We dedicate these offerings as tokens of the breaking dawn of Christ. May our gratitude shine forth by our joyfully giving of our earthly goods. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Come to that time in our service to lift up joys and concerns and situations in our midst. You turn to the back of our worship folder, you will see a listing of individuals there. Our service personnel, this month's prayer list, those that we continually pray for, as well as individuals in the nursing home. And you will see then hospitalized individuals of Doris and Joan. I had a text this morning that Dan is in the hospital, but I'm not sure which one or even when he went in. So we'll want to continue to remember all three of those individuals. And then these ones that I've just been handed, please continue to pray for baby Sage. Needs for prayers for diagnosis there. Christine, cancer, Madison, and Vanessa, Megan, and Greg for a job. Karen and Richard, their house caught fire last night. They're all okay, but they're staying with their middle son. So did they get everything out? Okay, they got some of their stuff out. Okay. And where's Bernie? You have a birthday today. Wow, Bernie's 82 years young. Happy birthday. I'm just Dale reading what they give me, Bernie.
Bill has a birthday, too.
Who's got one? Bill, Bill, where are you? It was yours today, too. Tomorrow, how old are you? 25.
Yeah.
85. 85. Come on, are there more than two? Anybody else? Come on, how often do you have an Easter birthday, right? About every, I don't know. Mine falls on Easter every once in a while as well, but it's been a long time. Of course, all we need to do also is to turn on the news or pick up a paper and we just see a multitude of individuals and situations around the world that need to have our intercessory prayer. And so with that in mind, let us continue by uniting our hearts and our spirits in prayer and also our voices as we sing number 322, Up From the Grave, He Arose.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, what a great joy it is to be in your home this day, to celebrate with brothers and sisters around the world this great event of Easter morning. A day when the world has been changed. A day, O God, when our lives have been changed. For we indeed seek today to meet the risen Christ, the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. The one who has changed history. The one who seeks to guide and to direct us with every step that we take. Oh God, we pray that we might be mindful of today, that we might be mindful of your holy presence for the next 365 days. That we might remember each week as we come and gather together to worship that it's all about this day, this event, this good news that comes to us and to the world. And may we be your faithful servants, O God, ones who are willing to take this good news into the world, to live it, to share it, to proclaim it. Oh God, we pray for the mission and ministry that is represented here this day. For the mission and ministry that is represented by each family and individual that is here. May we faithfully, oh God, be your servants to the world, discerning your words and living them each and every day. Oh God, we know that we don't always get it right. We know that sin creeps in just as it did the disciple Judas and Peter. And we need to be asked as well, do you love me? Oh God, later on we will share in this meal of grace and forgiveness of Holy Communion. A time to remember our humanness, our bent towards sinning, and our need for the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Begin, O God, even now to prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to receive, to be changed, to be transformed, to be made new. And then, O God, may we go into the world living not for ourselves, but living for you. Being used as your instruments of grace and forgiveness, your instruments of your healing power and presence. Your instruments, O God, wherever they are needed. May we be your obedient servants. Oh God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, beginning with the first verse of chapter 16. If you are able, I would invite you to please rise. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Siloam, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives and our daily living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray for your comfort, for your rest, for your peace. A sense of peace, O God, from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let me add a point here on this passage of Scripture. It's kind of an odd one. Odd, not in a sense that it's an Easter passage, but did you notice how it ends? Verse 8. So they went out and fled from the tomb. Terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It is my hope and my prayer that that is not our experience on Easter morning, that we choose to tell no one the good news of this moment, of this event, of this day. Now, if you continue reading, you'll see that the church had to deal with this, and so tradition has added a couple other endings to the Gospel of Mark. I believe there's a shorter ending and a longer ending that has a little better tone with it, that indeed they go out and begin to share the good news and to tell others about the experiences of Christ. It was on Good Friday, which was April 14th, 1865. Few years ago, 150 years ago, that President Abraham Lincoln was attending a performance in Ford's Theater, our American cousin in Washington, D.C., when an actor and a Southern conspirator, John Wilkes Booth, crept up into the balcony and shot President Lincoln in the back of the head. It happened only 4 days after the long war for the preservation of the American nation had come to an end. A great victory for the Union, followed by great mourning for an unimaginable loss, sometimes referred to as the Black Pageant. This April 15th, that date will ring a bell for other events that will be taking place. If you haven't had your taxes done, you've got a little bit more time. April 15th will mark the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's death, just 10 days after Easter. He was shot on the 14th, but he did not die until 7:22 in the morning the next day. And like the days following the assassination in 1865, Americans will once again turn our attention to remembering the one who perhaps was by some one of our greatest leaders, and certainly one of the most beloved. Although Lincoln was far from being universally loved and appreciated during his presidency, soon after his life, after his death, people began to rush to compare him to the first president of George Washington. They began to compare him to Moses in leading the people freedom from slavery to the promised land, and some even began comparing him to Jesus Christ. The parallels between Lincoln and Jesus were natural. His focus on justice for all, forgiveness and mercy for his enemies, and the liberation of the oppressed were seen as Christ-like qualities. But that's where the parallels end. Lincoln died on Holy Saturday morning, 7:22 a.m., in the home of William Peterson across the street from the Forbes Theater. And when Lincoln breathed his last breath, his Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, said, "Now he belongs to the ages." Lincoln's body would lie in state, first in the White House, and then in the United States Capitol Rotunda, before beginning its long journey to its final resting place in Springfield, Illinois. But on its way, the Lincoln funeral train stopped some 400 times on its long journey in order to give mourning Americans time to say goodbye to their beloved president. It was mentioned that in the, when did that book come out? The Irwin history book that just came out, that it may be that that train stopped here in Irwin. Anybody know for sure? Well, I know nobody was here then. You're not that old. But I've not read that book, so if any of you are Irwin historian buffs, if you have that book, check it out and let me know. I'll be curious to know whether or not that Lincoln train stopped here on the way through. But now let's think about the Gospel of Mark. It tells us about Jesus' burial. Jesus had been publicly and brutally crucified. It was a Friday afternoon, or some scriptures have him on the cross at 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, and some say it was noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At any rate, Jesus' death happened very quickly. And when he had died, a wealthy secret disciple of Jesus named Joseph of Arimathea, he asked Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, if he could have his body. was an unusual development then in request, because convicted criminals, their bodies either just hung on the cross until they rotted away, or the bodies were taken down and they were thrown in a common ditch for criminals. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a cloth, and laid it in a tomb carved out of a rocky hillside. And he then had a stone rolled against it to seal it. It wasn't exactly like the 10 feet of cement and steel that Lincoln is entombed in, but it was considered to be as safe and secure as possible for a first century tomb. Now, Lincoln's body had been elaborately embalmed. That was sort of a new thing 150 years ago. But in the first century, it was up to the families to care for the deceased, for the body. It was a two-stage process. First, the body was lovingly washed and cared for, and then it was wrapped in a linen cloth, and then it was laid in the tomb, and it was covered in spices. Those spices did two things. They cut down on the smell, the odor of decay, and they sped up the process as well. And then a year later, the family would return and collect up those bones and put them in a stone box called an ossuary, and they would place it then at the back of the tomb in a shelf that had been dug out, and then life would go on. And so on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb to finish the funeral work that could not be completed that Friday evening because of the Sabbath day that was fast approaching. They're having a conversation. How in the world are we going to roll the stone away? And when they get close and look, they realize that the stone has already been rolled away and the tomb is open. Their first response was that grave robbers had been there and stolen the body. A practice that was so common that even the Emperor Tiberius had issued an edict condemning grave robbing. But instead of an empty tomb, the women go and peek in, and there, the scriptures tell us, on the right side of the tomb, a young man is sitting, dressed in a white robe. Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. For you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's not here. He's been raised from the dead. Look, this is where they placed him. Jesus' body had been moved, but Jesus was the one that moved it. Oh, you can go to Jerusalem. You can visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the traditional site of Jesus' crucifixion and the tomb, but there is no body there. His body hasn't been moved because he's alive. And that is the message and the good news of this Easter morning, that indeed Jesus Christ is alive. Oh, Lincoln may have saved his country and his people from slavery, but the risen Jesus Christ has actually saved the world. The slavery Jesus abolished was the slavery that holds human beings in bondage to sin and death. Jesus' release from the tomb means that we too will be released and set free from sin and death. Historians most always speculate how different the world our country might be had Lincoln lived out the rest of his life. We tend to idolize those individuals who die too soon. And perhaps his later years in office would have revealed something more deeply troubling about the man than his bouts of depression, his undefined religious faith, and his tendency to go to the theater on Good Friday instead of perhaps church or staying home. But all of our heroes eventually turn to be human. And at some point, we stop comparing them with the divine and realize that they are just like us. Easter morning, however, tells us that true divinity is only found in the one who can save us. The one who is still very much alive and will make us alive as well. Oh, we should celebrate great men and women in the world. But we do better to celebrate the life and to worship the one that we call the risen Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for the good news of this day, we are grateful. What a joy and celebration, O God, it is to be in your presence this day, in the presence of your resurrected Son, Jesus Christ. Continue, O God, to bless us, to anoint us, and to use us for great things in the life of your kingdom. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. When we realized that Easter Sunday was the first Sunday of the month and the tradition is to do communion, to receive communion, someone said, what are we going to do? Well, there's never any more appropriate time than now to celebrate communion than on this day. Hey, guys, can you hear me in the back? There usually is a pitcher of juice and a loaf of bread here, and it didn't get brought in during the offering. Is it hiding back there somewhere? they're looking for it. Nope. Our cup does not runneth over. I know that's not the right terminology and wording of it, but I think here it comes. One time in my life, it was a Saturday evening in my last church. It was Communion Sunday as well, and I hadn't taken note, and I turned around to offer communion, and it was nothing. Nothing. Thank you. Life always takes those turns, and in those moments, and Christ continues to walk with us in the midst of those bumps in the road, as it would be, and thankful to God that God does do that, and journeys with us in the midst of whatever we're going through. And so today we do come on this Easter morning and remember just a few days ago that we celebrated the gift of life. When Jesus was gathered in that room with his disciples celebrating the meal of delivery, that Seder meal, that Passover meal, when they were ushered out as slaves in Egypt and headed towards the promised land. That night, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it, and he said to his disciples, "This is my body, and it's given for you. Eat and remember me."
And so today we break the bread and we will eat and we will remember that Christ is with us. And during that meal, Jesus took a cup. He said, "This cup is a new covenant. It's my blood. My blood, not the blood of an animal shed upon the altar, but my blood shed upon the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink and remember me." May we remember him this day. We will be receiving communion this morning in the pew. I would ask that you hold the elements, and then together as one body, we will commune and receive the elements together. It's always easier if you pass it to the person sitting beside you and then take either the bread or the cup. And then if you're on the end, allow the usher to receive it and then take what it is that you are receiving, the bread or the cup. The United Methodist Church, we practice open communion. All of you are welcome to receive. Doesn't matter your membership here or anywhere. If you desire to receive grace and forgiveness from Almighty God, here it is. Parents with children, Jesus said, "Let them come to me. Don't hold them or keep them away. I want them in my presence." And so children of all ages are welcome to commune and to receive as well. The table is prepared. Christ invites us. Let us come. Precious gift for you today, given some 2,000 years ago. For even though Jesus said then, "This is my body, take and eat it," he was thinking of you then, today. His body broken for you. Take and receive and eat and remember him. Amen. Cup of the new covenant. No longer an animal dashed upon the altar, but the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you. Then, today, drink and receive grace and forgiveness. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us and within us. This great holy mystery of the presence of Christ. Continue, O God, to bless us, to strengthen us, and to use us as your faithful servants each and every day in the world. For it's in Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news of this day, that He lives and reigns in our world, in our lives, in our hearts, minds, and spirits. O God, send us forth into the world to be your faithful church, your faithful servants and disciples to the world. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.